Bernie Wilkinson.
I'm Dr. Richard Marshall.
It is a Wednesday, December 7th, a day
that will live in infamy.
In infamy.
Still a special day. 9/11 and 12/7.
Yeah. So yeah,
difficult day.
You know, I'm horrible at remembering dates when it comes to that kind of thing. Of course, I remember 9/11 because that was I remember exactly where I was, and we're reminded every year of that. But you know, when it comes to big historical events from before I was really aware of social events, I have a really hard time remembering those dates. Right. So when I said this morning that it was December 7th, and you said that I thought that you were, I didn't know that's even what you were referring to. So,
one of Franklin Roosevelt's great speeches.
Yeah,
in front of Congress.
Yeah,
when he asked them to declare war.
Yeah,
Tough times.
But today, well, we're not going to talk about war today. Well,
we are. We're going to talk. As it turns out, we are. We're going to talk about the warfare that's waged between teenagers and their parents over cell phone use.
Yes. So today we're going to talk. We're continuing our talk and conversation about social technology. Right. But we're going to talk a little bit more probably today about social media, social media and video games and things like that associated with teenagers, because you know we've talked over the last couple of days about how we use technology differently at different ages.
That's right. We have these developmental stages. You know, as we said on Monday, that technology use sort of parallels child development.
Right.
So from birth to two. There's one set of introductory issues that you have to keep in mind. In the preschool years, you have another set, then elementary school. And now we're into the late middle school and high school years. Mm-hmm. And now the door has opened, I guess we could say the door has opened completely. Because now we're at that point where young teenagers, will have access to the internet. And that presents a whole new set of challenges.
Absolutely. Because and we've kind of alluded to it over the last couple of days, but their technology in the teenage years is almost expected. It is, schools expect your teenagers to have access to the internet, to have access to various forms of media so that they can get information. There are classes now where, you know, the textbooks are all online.
Right.
You know, you don't
even have physical textbooks
anymore. Right. You have to do it online. Mm-hmm. And then there are those classes who you have your either a physical textbook or a virtual textbook, but some of the information that your child needs to know isn't even in the textbook. They have to go and research it. They have to go and find it in different places. So the expectation is that your child is going to have access to the internet. And that, you know, on one hand, that's pretty crazy, because when we think about the world as a whole, there was that paper that came out, or that little summary that came out not long ago. Actually, it's probably been about 10 years ago or so, that said, you know, if the world population was down to 100 people, I think that less than 5 or something like that even had a computer.
Right.
So to think that we live in an age where kids here in our country are expected to have not only internet access, but some kind of device that they can use, you know, so they kind of account for that by having computers and stuff at the school. Right. And of course we have them at the libraries and things like that. Right. But what we're really talking about here, and I think that the crux of what we're going to talk about today is social media. The internet for doing research purposes for school is one thing, but really what we're going to talk about today is social media.
Right. And there are two, you already raised one point, and that is that children today, on the first day that we discussed this on Monday morning, one of the first things we said is their media can be in four categories.
Right.
TV, video game, consoles, game consoles,
phones,
and
tablets.
Tablets, okay. As children get older, as they move into the teenage years, their use increases. their use of technology increases, mm-hmm. but their devices become more limited,
right?
Almost virtually to their cell phone,
right?
Okay, and that's what you have to remember, that there's this replacement factor that occurs mm-hmm. with teenagers, is that, and there are teenagers today, not only teenagers, but individuals in their 20s who say, I don't need anything else but my cell phone.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, they watch TV on their phones. If they watch TV, Netflix and things like that,
right.
they're interacting with their peers on their phones. They're doing work on their phones or doing research on their phones. I mean, smartphones today are smart.
A friend of ours, his son said, I don't even think I need a computer. Everything I do on my cell mm-hmm. phone now. Yeah. And as cell phones get a little bit larger, mm-hmm. I haven't seen iPhone 7 yet. Have you?
Yeah.
Are they larger?
They're about the same thing as the same size as the 6.
So a 6 plus.
Yes.
Okay. But they're getting to a point where the phone can almost replace all the mm-hmm. other types of digital. You know, kids will watch. I walk through the university and I see them watching movies and things mm-hmm. on their mm-hmm. cell phones. I don't know how to do that, but I'm old. And so, but there.
I like it that I don't even have to say it anymore. Right. You just accept it.
Right. And so. Children, so they're spending more time on their, but they're more limited in the range of devices that they're using.
Right.
So that's that. And the other thing is that if you want to be connected socially today, you're going to do it through a cell phone.
Right.
I'm sorry, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
We mentioned, I think yesterday, during the podcast that, when we were in school, we all went to the same school.
Right.
All the kids in our neighborhood went to the same school. Today, that doesn't exist anymore. You can go to any school mm-hmm. you want to go to today. And so you're going to communicate not by going to each other's houses, you're going to go to each other's devices.
Right.
Okay. And it just is a fact of life. So we have to stop fighting the battle of whether they should have a cell phone or not and decide how to use it well, how to use it wisely. Once again, one of the early messages was, is it a tool or is it entertainment?
Right.
And we want to make sure that the cell phone is primarily a tool.
Right.
And not just entertainment. Because the brain gets good at what it does repeatedly. And if a student is using a cell phone just for entertainment, that's what they're going to get good at. It should also be used as a tool.
Now here's the rub with this, though. Using it as a tool. Using social media, is that a tool or is that entertainment? That's
both.
That's a reality that we have. It just smacks us,
right?
Because it is in many ways, it is very much so a tool.
Because we're not just talking about the cell phone,
right?
We're not talking about the device anymore. Parents come and say, "Well, my child's addicted to her cell phone." No, we're not talking about the cell phone. We're talking about social media.
Right.
Okay. That they're using the cell phone for social media. Mm-hmm. So we're going to stay on topic.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Because, I remember very clearly growing up that parents were insistent. They were almost insane as it relates to the amount of time their kids spent on the telephone.
That's right.
You know,
right.
The house phone. And, you know, it wasn't until we got call waiting and then, oh, man, three-way calling, forget about it. But when all of that started happening, you know, teenagers were spending an inordinate amount of time on the telephone.
And all you got was a busy signal. If you were trying to call that number, you got a busy signal, and you couldn't do anything about it.
Right. And today, there are no busy signals.
Right.
But so kids can have those same kinds of conversations. They're doing the same things
that's
that we
true.
Were doing when we were kids, but they're able to do that with two or three people at the same time now.
So imagine if you're a baby boomer, when you were talking on the phone, you were limited to having one conversation at a time. But if you had a little screen that popped up the name of everybody trying to call you, you would have been interrupting that phone call.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The entire time.
Yeah.
That's what kids have today.
That's right.
That you're talking to one person, but you see another message coming mm-hmm. in from another person. So then now you're having conversation with two people.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
That's true. I hadn't thought about that before.
So
the technology.
What technology has done is it's just changed the way in which we do the same thing that we've always done.
That's right.
As parents, we have to be careful not to freak out about this. We gotta mm-hmm. don't lose your cool over how much time your kid's spending on his phone, because if he wasn't texting with his friends, if we go back 30 years,
right,
he would be on the phone with his friends.
But one at a time. Okay, now he's doing...
Or he would be out in the neighborhood. And sure, we can say, well, oh man, it would be so much better if he was out in the neighborhood. Maybe, but...
None of the kids in that neighborhood.
Right, but it's different now because there's no kids that he knows in his neighborhood.
That's right. All the kids who lived around us went to the same high school.
Right.
We were in the same grade.
Right. And you know, I always laugh when parents say, well, I just wish that they would go out because then they would get out. They wouldn't be in trouble because they're on their cell phone, so they're getting in trouble all the time looking at things and doing... If we sort of brush away the selective memories, when kids just hung out in the neighborhoods, they got a lot of trouble.
They got in trouble.
They got into a lot of trouble sometimes.
Right.
So it's not... None of it is new. I guess that's the message that we want to send, is that it's not new. It's the same. It's just a different... It just looks different.
It looks different to us.
Right.
But don't let the difference scare you.
Right.
It's really the same thing going on.
Absolutely.
Okay? But it's going on in multiples rather than in one at a time.
Right.
Rather than happening singly. I mean, I can remember my sister used to be on the phone for hours and hours and hours. Used to tie up the phone and my parents would get angry with her. And... but that it's exactly the same thing that my daughters are doing now.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's talk for a moment now about, if we use that as the basis, let's talk for a moment about how do we handle it as parents? Because despite all of that, they can't be on the phone all the time. We can't allow...
Well, they can be.
That's right. We can't allow them. We shouldn't allow them to be on the phone all the time.
That's the take-home message.
That's where we get into problems. Right. Because while we want our teenagers to disengage from us, we want to disengage from our teenagers so that they develop some skills and abilities and confidence and competence in different areas. We also don't want them... You know, staring at a 7x3 screen all day long, you know, doing nothing else.
Right.
And so we need to figure out how to arrange that. A strategy, for example, that I've used with some of the teenagers that I work with, parents become very frustrated when their teenagers bring the phones to the dining room table. And the teenagers will say, well, I can't help it. You know, they're texting me and they need this and they're asking me that. And so the teenager gets really, really agitated and concerned and overwhelmed and anxious. And so, sure, they may put their phone away, but then, you know, they're scarfing down their food as fast as they can. And then they say, can I be excused? And that sort of defeats the whole purpose of what you're trying to do with the family eating dinner together.
Right.
So instead, you say, okay, so from this time to this time, now this is going to require some planning from the parent, but from 6 to 7, that's dinner time. That's family time. And so you can tell your friends now, send out a mass text and say, from 6 to 7, I'm not available.
That's right. Then they know that, then their friends know they're not just being ignored.
Right.
Okay.
And then they can feel more comfortable putting the phone down, leaving it in the room, putting it on the in one of the drawers or something, turning the volume off so it doesn't vibrate and distract them and make them think, oh my gosh, who's trying to get in touch with me?
Right.
But when we clearly articulate a time that is a unplugged time, well, that makes for a big difference. And if that time is the same every day, friends become accustomed to it, that your kid will become accustomed to it. Now, certainly that means that you have to make sure that you eat between 6 and 7 o'clock every day.
Right.
And it certainly means that at 7 o'clock, he is released.
To hold up your end of the bargain.
Right. Right. So you have to hold up that part.
Right.
But otherwise, you know, having these clearly defined times is going to make it much easier for your teenager. Some families say, well, you can talk on your phone all you want, as long as you're done with your homework and chores first.
Right.
You know, you get these things done and I'll check it, make sure that it's all done okay. But you get these things done first and then you can be on your phone.
And then they come up and say, we don't have homework tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's a new set of
challenges when they're teenagers.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But we said earlier, it's the same issues.
Right.
It's all the same issues, whether it's the baby boomers or the millennials or the X's or the Y's. Doesn't matter. It's the same issue. Two things. Number one, you can't we can't allow our children, we can't leave teenagers to their own devices.
Right.
We don't leave them at home alone and go off for the weekend.
Right.
Okay. Because they're not able to handle that level of independence yet. We don't let them get into a car at 14.
Right.
You know? So we do have these limits. So we have to have the same kind of limitations here. We just can't let them say, yes, here's the internet, go out and have fun.
Right.
That's not how it works. So parents have this obligation now with technology, especially with social media, to protect their children from misusing the media.
Absolutely.
Okay? And one of the primary problems, one you just brought up, is we have to protect homework time.
Right.
We have to protect sleep time.
Yeah.
We have to protect family time.
Right. Absolutely.
They're not going to do that.
Right.
They're teenagers.
Yeah.
They're not going to say, well, I would rather talk to my parents than be on my phone from 6 to 7.
Yeah.
Well, I would rather do my homework than be on my phone. I would rather stay up late and talk to my friends than sleep. Okay.
Right.
No. We don't leave those decisions to teenagers, especially young teenagers. So parents, you do have this obligation to protect your children from themselves. But we do it in other areas of their life. We have to do it here as well.
And so you create that structure very clearly.
Right.
And again, you got to live up to your end of the bargain.
Right.
But you create that very clearly so that it's the same every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so over time, and oftentimes it doesn't really take that long. I mean, teenagers, they'll sometimes push the limits a little bit and they'll try some things. But as long as you're sticking to it, usually teenagers adapt very quickly because they know, and then they take advantage of the times that they have.
Right. And they'll push the boundaries with cell phone use as they push the boundaries with curfews and everything else they're doing, with hair length, with hair color, with makeup. They're always pushing those boundaries. It's normal part of being a teenager.
Right.
So too with cell phones and social media, they're going to push the boundaries.
Right.
But you have to do the same thing. I don't like people bringing their phones into my kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just, there's work to be done. We're either preparing meals or having a meal or doing the dishes.
Mm-hmm.
That's no time to be on social media.
Right.
Those are times when the whole family should be involved in those activities.
So limiting cell phone or social media or technology use in teenagers really comes down to two important things. One, you have to create a structure that has times that are identified for them to not be engaged in it.
That's right.
The second thing, though, is that unless the social media use is the source of the problem, the removal of social media should not be the punishment.
But repeat that.
I don't know if I can repeat that.
No.
I'll hit replay.
He's absolutely... You know, it doesn't... All of us, it leaves me speechless because we're all dealing with it. The first thing we want to do is we want to yank that cell phone away from our kids because we know that that's the most pain that we can inflict on our teenagers.
Right.
Okay. We're all, and parents will say, well, that's the only thing that matters to her. No, it's not the only thing that matters, but it's the easiest thing to reach for.
Right.
But don't grab, if the phone isn't the problem, then don't take the phone.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
If the phone is the problem, if your child is not doing her homework because she's on her phone, then the phone is the problem.
Absolutely.
If your child is not sleeping because she takes her phone to bed, the phone is the problem, okay?
Right.
By all means, take the phone because the phone is the problem. But for other things, if your child's giving you smart comments, that's not because she has a phone.
Right.
So there has to be some other kind of intervention.
Right. So yeah. So don't reach for that. We did a podcast before on that, and So that's not the way to limit the teenagers. You limit it through structure and routine and those kinds of expectations. You don't limit it as a form of punishment because that just introduces other problems, other issues.
It's a hornet's nest. That is a hornet's nest, so
absolutely.
Be careful.
So, all right. Well, I think that's everything for today.
That was a good Wednesday.
Yeah. Tomorrow, we're going to go into a little bit more about technology and relationships, more specifically technology and marriage. We touched on it last week. We're going to go into it a little bit more tomorrow and see how that goes.
That's right. All because right. This whole technology world doesn't only affect children.
Right.
Adults and are affected and marriages are affected. So stay tuned.
Definitely so. All right. Well, we will see you tomorrow.
It's bright early.
Thursday. All right. Have a great rest of your day. Bye-bye.